and welcome to another episode of Awards Daily's Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Joey Moser, and I am joined by none other than the Power of the Dog's Best Supporting Actress contender, Kirsten Dunst. In Jane Campion's psychological western, Dunst plays Rose Gordon, a humble woman running an inn with her son, when she marries George Burbank, played by Dunst's real-life partner, Jesse Plemons. She enters a world of wealth that she isn't accustomed to, and she has to contend with George's contemptuous brother, Phil, played to menacing perfection by Benedict Cumberbatch. The more that Phil gets closer to Rose's son, Peter, the more she loses her control on her drinking. Dunst has always been an emotionally open and vulnerable performer, but she reaches new heights in Campion's film. She has been nominated for a Golden Globe and a Critics' Choice Award so far for her performance, and she could nab a SAG nomination next week. If she is announced at the Oscars this year, it will be her first nomination. As always, take a moment to subscribe to all of our podcasts here at Awards Daily and sit back, relax, and enjoy our conversation. So I have to tell you, not to be like a giant nerd, before I ask you some questions. My father and I always talked a lot about the Virgin Suicides.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very repetitive point of conversation for the two of us. So I was a little excited to get a chance to talk to you, and thank you for your time.
Thanks, Joey. I appreciate it. I got... Mark Jacobs did these Virgin Suicides sweatshirts and things like that, which are all Virgin Suicides. Obviously, I'm not going to wear them, but like, there was a purse I gave my mom with my face on.
Yeah. That's awesome. Oh, I just God. Got like the, I was, I watched Power of the Dog again last night, and then I pulled the like Criterion version of Virgin Suicides off the shelf, and I was like, all right, I need to watch it again.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that's a special film for me too, obviously.
Yeah. I just think there's something very like alluring and hypnotic and very beautiful about it. And I feel like there's mm-hmm. something, it has a power that I think brings a lot of people back to it. So, in terms of Power of the Dog, Cody, first of all, you're so fantastic in it. Cody has a line, I think it's the opening line of the movie, where he says, what kind of man would I be if I could not save her? Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you thought that Rose thought that she particularly needed saved.
Oh, that she herself thought she needed saving?
Yeah.
I don't think you ever want to put that on your child.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. Even if she needed to, I don't think you, when you're in it, you don't think anyone can really save you except maybe yourself, you know? So I don't know if she thought, like, when they have that exchange, I think she's a little too out to lunch too, to like register when he's like, when he says, sir, you know, I'll take care of it, mother. I mean, I think there's something that hits her inside, but I don't think she thinks, oh yeah, he's going to murder Phil, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. There's that sort of, I guess, you know, parental thing where you like, you know, you don't expect something like that of your child, because like the parent has this sort of instinctual, instinct, that, you know, they take care of the child and not the other way around.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Although Cody and I, the first day I met Cody in rehearsals, we were talking like immediately. We were both just on the same page pretty quick. And I was like, what if we had this secret with each other that you killed your dad, my husband? You know, he was an alcoholic and like he hung himself, but maybe you knew that and you just didn't go help him and you let it happen. Or there's something weird and secretive about our relationship together that added another level of like a weird mother-son connection that hopefully seeped into our roles, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there was that too. We had that little secret together.
Yeah. I was sort of speaking about the alcoholism aspect of it. I think like personally, like my mom's first marriage, she was married to an alcoholic. So, I mean, obviously wasn't part of that because I was not born yet. Mm-hmm. But I kept thinking about, you know, the alcoholism, because you have that line even in the towards the beginning of the movie where you say, I don't like drinking.
Yeah.
And I think what happens with Rose is such an interesting path. And I sort of wanted to know how you mentally sort of felt like her drinking was necessary? And how do you think that like soothed her, even though she's very conscious of things that happened previously in her life?
Well, the drinking was written, you know, in the script that she starts doing it, but it wasn't written the moment that she does that. And so I talked to Jane about like how significant that was for me playing the role to really have that moment on film where she decides I'm going to take a drink, which is, you know, at the party after the disastrous dinner where she couldn't play. So I think that, you know, for me, it was really important that you saw that struggle, and that I think it was just so much stress, and it was really her only way to cope, to even like be in that home, was to start drinking. She had no other way to cope. She had no one to turn to. She didn't, you know, she wanted to like get through it. And I think that that was just her way, you know, and she just sequestered in her room and became like, she was either like hungover or kept drinking, you know. It's just, So
there has to be something even more tragic that what you succumb to, even though you're conscious of how much you don't like it. I think that makes it even sadder in a way.
You know what you're doing. It's like if you pick up smoking cigarettes again, you feel like so bad about it, but then you just do it again. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, I'm just making this harder for myself. But it's just, I think as humans, sometimes you just, you know.
Yeah.
It's, right. Whatever it is, the time we've been in this past 2 years and all of it, it just like, I was lucky I was pregnant, so I had to be healthy. But, you know, a lot of people drank too much.
Yeah, a lot of people drank too much, smoked too much, ate too much.
All of the above.
It's sort of like we're living in this like crazy excess that we know is really, really bad for us all the time.
And then you're like, well, what else are we going to do?
I know. It's getting worse again. It's like, all right.
My girlfriend, we're in Texas right now. And like, you know, it's very different here, obviously. And I mean, in Austin, no one judges you for wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. But my friend was in Dallas and she was like, everyone looks at me like I'm crazy when I wear a mask inside. But yeah, they're in LA and everything got shut. Yeah. All her kids' schools got shut again. And I know it's just mentally so crazy for her right now just to go back to this. But I'm used to spending a lot of time at home anyway. It's like I'm either working or I'm home so much. So, you know, he needs to go and do all day. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm personally a little bit more of like a homebody, but it was sort of just like, I need to get up. I need to get out. We just moved to Ohio in like the last year and a half. And we live luckily in like a nice, super liberal area. But like there've been a couple of times where people just like randomly yell at me for wearing a mask from across the street. So
that's just crazy to me.
Yeah.
Like, who knows your situation at home too? You should be taking care of like a really old sick person. Like how could you yell at someone for making you don't know what they're going through personally either.
You don't know my life.
You have a little kid at home, a baby, you know, that's like born with, you know, whatever it is. It's like, you can't criticize someone for wearing.
I know, exactly. Total stranger.
So crazy.
To talk to a random stranger that way, that blew my mind.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask something else about before Phil comes on the scene. Mm-hmm. Peter mentions that, you know, Rose used to be a florist. And I liked seeing Rose sort of get excited about like serving people and having people to kind of take care of. And then it sort of all goes to shit, obviously. What do you think she likes about serving people? Because I even like that scene where you go into the kitchen just to like dry the dishes and you just encourage
people. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think she responds to about that?
Well, for me, like that scene was so much about her trying to ground herself and feel cozy and purposeful. Like she runs an inn. Like her whole thing is cooking, cleaning, decorating the tables, like being a host. And her whole job is taken away from her. It's like you feel so purposeless. And I think that that instinct for her was, you know, that I think that was for sure the beginning of her demise, is just like not having a function in that home. Like not allowed, like you can't even cook because then you're being rude to the people in the home that work there. So yeah, I think for her, it was her pride. It was her artistry. It was like her inn and like running her restaurant and all of that was her, her purpose.
Yeah, sort of. I like how you don't like shoo the other people out of the room. You sort of just want to join them a little bit in that scene. It's sort of like
you want girlfriends.
Yeah. I don't know what it would be like to like do this one thing and then just be expected to just sit there and do nothing or try to
go shopping and like. Yeah, it's just, and that was also something I wanted to be careful of. I didn't want her outfits to get too crazy or she was supposed to, written in the book was this like really large feather that's worn in her hat during the whole dinner scene. And it just like, we tried it a bunch of times and it was just like, we don't need to show this frivolity of her trying so hard to make her look stupid. It's like, it's like enough already. So we ixnayed this feather that was kind of supposed to, this big feather in her hat she was supposed to have on to try and be like fashion forward. But it really is just like makes her look like a fool in the book.
Yeah.
And so we got rid of it. We tried it a bunch and I was just, it just felt so unnecessary, you know, to it's different when you're reading something and those things seep into you in a different way than when, you know.
Yeah. You have to see it. Yeah. First of all, my God, that dinner scene is so, oof, that's so uncomfortable. I felt like there's a part where they like hand you the tray.
Oh yeah.
It's sort of like she's like frozen there. It's so hard to watch. And you know, she's seems like a very, you know, friendly, very outgoing person. And that really, especially when I watched again last night, that really sort of hit home to me how isolated she must feel and how like nervous she is, because there was like even like a shot of you just holding it and it's like it looks like I almost paused the movie because you're so like frozen. Like it's so sad.
Poor Rose.
Poor Rose.
She needs those cocktails.
Yeah.
I'd be right there with her in that house. I'd be like, let's go chill in the bedroom.
Yeah, like, let me get out of here. No way. Thank you.
But yeah, that was I remember not really talking to anyone that day. It got cut out, the part where I spoke or tried to speak and join the conversation, because also they're talking about these like really intellectual current events of like newspaper, you know, things that are happening in newspapers that I'm like, what? You're speaking a foreign language to me, you know. I haven't, she doesn't know, you know, what they're referring to, and such a fish out of water. And then it's made to feel like, you know, the help at this party in a weird way. So just, I think, yeah, her husband's not really coming to her defense because he's so worried about the brother not being there. I mean, it's just like the worst dinner party of all time.
Yeah, like of all time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think she even like, I don't know, do you think that she would expect her husband to come more to her defense a little bit? Because I, for some reason, you know, when I watched it, I got so kind of like annoyed. He like encourages her a lot. He wants her to, you know, he'll play the piano, like he wants to show her off a little bit. He loves her, but yeah. I wondered if you thought that Rose was maybe not resentful, but maybe just a little.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, it was even hard for Jesse to portray sometimes, because he would say, I'm clearly seeing that something's wrong, but I'm not doing anything about it. So that was a struggle for him to figure out. And a lot of things were cut out of the movie because of that too, because there was definitely a scene where I say to George, you know, I don't think your brother likes me very much. And it was done very delicately, but still, I think it squashed some of the tension of the editing in the film. So they took it away. Like there was a few things like that. I went up to Phil at one point when I've been drinking and I was like, why don't you like me, Phil? And then he just calls me some awful things. I forget what exactly, like, because you're a boozy, I don't know, whatever he says. Yeah. But yeah, that got cut out too. And I understand why. It was to keep that tension of why isn't anyone helping or what's really happening. And I think he honestly was also so stressed out himself about this party and worried more about the brother not being there that he didn't really see you know, he couldn't let him, he knew that something was wrong, but also if he let that in, maybe he'd collapse himself. You know, I think he's a very lonely, sensitive guy too. And is just also trying to make things better the best he can, you know?
Yeah. So I got to ask about, God, the scenes where Benedict's character really goes after you. No, it sort of feels like, I don't know, that sort of feeling you're sort of swimming against current almost, like that scene where you're playing the piano and that he starts strumming along, sort of, he's like mocking you while playing an instrument almost. How did maybe you and Benedict want to keep that tension throughout? Because it is so palpable and it is so scary. And I feel like maybe even if Rose would be like, oh, he's doing these weird things, people would maybe even brush it off because that's just the way he is. And maybe he doesn't view it as torturing her as much as playfulness. I was just curious what kind of communication you guys had together about that tension.
Okay, well, in that scene, he wasn't even there, you know, because his stuff was shot separately. So
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah.
So I didn't even work with Benedict in that scene. But in my mind, what I used for myself was the idea of like, you know, here I am, something that I know how to play the piano. I'm not, but somehow, you know, something's blocking me and it's giving me so much anxiety that I can't, you know, play the what I could play if I was at home or at the inn or whatever. And I think for me, a really like a place where I felt insecure or to me the lowest depth of like creative failure is someone just trumping you with their artistry in such a natural, easy way, and you're just like, how is it this easy for you? So him playing that banjo in such a beautiful way where he's just riffing and he just has this natural gift that I don't even have an ounce of that, you know, as Rose. So that to me was like, you know, almost listening in on an audition, like if you're in the waiting room and you're hearing someone else do the lines and you're just like, oh, I should just give up.
Yeah. Because like, you automatically second guess yourself. But
yeah.
It's like just, their choices are way different and better than mine. Oh, okay.
They just sound better. They're more authentic. They're so much more in it. Whatever it is, I understand how you can let yourself, you know, that was where I went to for like Rose's kind of spiral is just, you know, yeah. But we didn't really talk much to each other on set, Benedict and I. We don't really have many scenes together anyway. So we kind of kept a distance on set. And we didn't talk. Well, I mean, we hung out on the weekend with our boys sometimes, but not really, you know, but and then we were normal with each other. But I didn't really say more than hi. And sometimes I didn't do that.
I mean, that probably even helps you guys if you're in character.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like, put some good energy out there that influenced probably the whole, you know, the whole set with, you know, how he acted as Phil on set and then how he was with me on set.
I think something that I really love about the movie is your chemistry with Cody, especially in those early scenes. And it's really heartbreaking to see how Rose feels like she can't reach him, especially towards the second half. Like there's that scene where you say to Jesse, you know, I don't want him to go with him. Teaching him how to ride and stuff. What do you think how Rose would react if his character would come right out and say that he might feel like he's different from other men?
I think Rose knows that he is my son. I think that she's afraid that Phil might, I think she's just afraid, what is Phil going to do with my son? Does he want, you know, to have sex with my son? Does he want to kill my son? Does he, you know, I don't know what he wants, but he's got some handle on my son. And that's what's
so scary.
It's terrifying. We're already living in a time where it wasn't acceptable. And I think, of course, your child, I mean, I think Rose is a mother that totally accepts her son for who he is. Yeah. I mean, he encourages his flowers and his art. And I think there's part of it that's like, oh, Yeah, my son's a little different, but I think that's more like he likes to dissect rabbits, things like yeah. that. That side of him that I think is more like, ew, to yeah. Rose than anything else. I think he, you know, to be the son he is in this movie, and he's the most himself. And it's, I think that's what's so threatening about him to everybody else.
Yeah, I think there's something, I don't want to speak for, you know, all of the gays, but I feel like that's what a lot of people respond to with your character, is a lot of times we don't get a lot of parents who encourage maybe the artistry and encourage, mm-hmm. you know, their children to be who they are. And I feel like Rose does do that. And I will say that I had no idea about that element of the movie at all. Like, I was in the movie theater by myself. I was like, oh, this movie's kind of gay.
I love it.
Like, everyone I was messaging everyone, like, you didn't tell me this was like gay as hell. And they were like, oh, yeah. We didn't want to ruin it for you. I was like, it's great.
Oh, it's so amazing. Yeah. I love it. Oh, God. Wait, Joey, I want to keep talking to you because I really enjoy talking with you about this movie. I have to talk to someone at 3:15.
No, yeah, I'm just about to let you go. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but I really like talking to you, though.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time. I think you bring a beautiful vulnerability to this and all of your roles. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice to speak to you.
You too. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.